1st meeting of the Environmental Advisory Committee to order. Does everyone have a copy of the agenda in front of them? I think we've already worked through item 2A. Welcome to Andy. I was telling Andy there's no such thing as a dumb question, and so if you have anything that...
You got any background you could tell us?
I'm from Wilmington, North Carolina. I went to UNCW and studied environmental studies and film studies. Wow. And I now work for a nonprofit. I do campaign and development work for an organization that uses documentary films to support social justice and environmental advocacy.
In Hendersonville or Ashland?
I just work from home. It's just a national
nonprofit. Which nonprofit?
It's called Working Films.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a gardener, beekeeper, raised chickens and sheep recently. My background, the reason I was interested in joining this committee is I've done a little bit with seed libraries and food swaps, and I'm really personally interested in community supported projects and initiatives. So this is my first experience with the committee, so looking forward to learning.
And what kind of libraries did you?
Seed libraries.
Seed libraries. Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So
cool.
Yeah. Looking forward to doing that as a prize.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that we're going to spend a lot of time on probably over the next year, maybe more, is the solid waste master plan. So maybe a week. Hey, Philip. Christine, you want to tell everyone a little bit about your background as well, since you're...
Yeah, definitely. So hello, everybody. My name is Christine Brown. I'm the new recycling coordinator for Henderson County. And for the last 5 years, I was working at a nonprofit called Asheville Greenworks. And they do river and roadside cleanups, hard recycle events, and edible and shade tree plantings. And so while I was there, I was their environmental educator. And I was lucky to become a certified environmental educator through the state. And I was working a lot with waste reduction education. And I did trees and pollinators and water as well. But I became a really great recycling guru up in Buncombe. But Greenworks had a unique contract with Landis-Sky Regional Council to use their recycling education vehicle, and I would go to 4 counties talking about waste. So I've met some of y'all through that, and I would go to Madison, Buncombe, Henderson, and Transylvania County using this van to teach kids in the community, and I would go to Rhythm and Brews down here and Hendersonville Elementary. So that's how I met Rachel and developed a relationship with her. And then I jumped off the opportunity to apply for this job. So I'm really excited to be here and 2 months in. So thanks for being patient as I learn my new roles here. So look forward to working with y'all.
Great. Thanks for being with us. So Christine, if you want to give us your, your assessment of where we're at on the solid waste master plan.
Yes. So we're developing a solid waste master plan. And I believe previously they had done it in-house, and so I think they had one 10 years ago, but they would just update it in-house, but now they're looking to really do a great new professional solid waste master plan, and it's still in the beginning stages right now. Marcus sent out a request for qualifications this summer, and he requested that McGill be the engineer, and so they were selected October 1st, McGill, and topics for the master plan include the transfer station capacity, collections, composting, and financial analysis. And after we get the contract from McGill, we're going to present it to the Board of Commissioners and then hold stakeholder meetings, and that's where the EAC will come in. There will be 3 stakeholder meetings. One with EAC, and hopefully we can invite Mount True and other community members to come and discuss the master plan. And then the haulers and then the Board of Commissioners will be, I think, the public meeting.
How long between approval of the contract and stakeholder meetings?
Hopefully the approval contract will be in December, the December 5th meeting, and then maybe January for
about a month.
Yeah.
So this is a consultant. You're saying going from doing it in-house to hiring an outside consultant And the consultant is McGill,
mm-hmm.
and McGill is engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but do they have background in solid waste? I don't understand.
Yeah, they have environmental engineers that design landfills, and they helped. We hired them to upgrade our transfer station. I learned that it has received a lot of great updates throughout the years. I didn't realize that where we were now, we did not have previously. So, yeah.
And where are they located?
They're in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of their staff, I think a lot of them live here in Henderson County. So, and they had a great proposal.
Okay. What's the budget for that?
I'm not sure. But I can find out.
Hmm.
Could you just send us the contract that's going to be up for a vote to approve by the commissioners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, double check too.
And then we could just read and see what exactly their scope of work is.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said three things. They were looking at transfer station, collection, compost.
Yeah, if she sends us the contract, it'll have in there their scope of work. And
I got that, but I just want the summary, the three statements that she made.
Yeah, the financial analysis.
Financial analysis.
Composting, collections, and transfer station capacity.
Okay.
Which I'm really excited about composting. I think that's going to be a great analysis to look at.
Okay.
Am I understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Christine, but this is no longer a state requirement to do this. We're doing this because we want to and because we see benefit from it.
From composting or?
No, the master plan.
The master plan.
It used to be, I think, a requirement from the state, is what I heard.
Okay.
No longer. So, when I first talked about this with Marcos a few months ago, he said it's a great way to kind of show off what we've already done and see if it's scalable. Compost would be one of those things. So.
How's that going out there?
The food waste collection?
Yeah.
It's collected 14 tons
wow.
since it started last September, and
that's
so that's
incredible.
About a ton a month.
Okay.
And I'll talk more about it in the announcements, but I'm really excited that it's going strong. People have been complaining that they're full to like all the time. You know, it's like too full. So.
Wow. Well, and then the transfer station collection, does that include the haulers' contracts and how all that's going to be determined?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think how much we can accept to what the tonnage.
Okay, so tonnage and haulers.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And I'll talk to Marcos about sending the contract to this committee and then the budget.
Sounds good. All right.
But I think the next meeting, we meet every 3 months. Is that correct? And so the next meeting wouldn't be until February, but we might need to hold one in January if the contract is approved. Would that be okay with everybody to meet
sure.
sooner?
Yep.
Sure.
And there could be potential to be meeting more frequently as this process goes on. So just give you all a heads up that this
can
is happening. And
can we just go ahead and move item 5 up to right now and let's pick a date? Everyone want to pull out their calendars?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'd love. We've always been kind of fluid with that.
Yeah.
We need more frequent than we were.
And just to clarify, this all depends if they get the contract to us in time to give it to the December board meeting. So we're still waiting on a contract from McGill. If they do not give it to us in time, then we might have to meet in February. But hopefully they'll get us to it soon.
Did you want to set a date?
We usually do like the first Thursdays of the month, but that would be January 3rd. We could do January 10th to give a little more space in between New Year's.
That could help.
Yeah. So
that's good.
The 10th?
Yeah, that works for me.
Cool. Yeah.
Everybody good?
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And at 3 p.m.
Bring this on to old business. Chris and Philip. Everyone, I think everyone's got a copy of the LID policy guidance statement. Yes. I think where we left off with this last time is we had some edits done to it, some grammatical.
Yes, Jan did some good copy editing. And I think just new members hadn't seen what was written, and our new staff member obviously probably wasn't aware of it until she was looking through the agenda stuff this week. I think in general, I mean, new members need a chance to read it and give their opinion whether or not they like the idea, have an opinion about what the idea is, and we need to figure out some sort of action item. Probably not sending it to commissioners right away, but maybe figuring out like what the next step is through a discussion presently.
I think one of the things we talked about last time was maybe having the county's construction manager come in and talk to us, or you know, someone of that. I don't know what the matter of court, the board of operations are for something like this. But
has Marcus seen it since we actually wrote something up? I don't think he has. That'd be an obvious person to help to give us some.
And I talked to John earlier today, asked him if he'd seen it, and he said he hadn't. So maybe Marcus and John are the first place to go with it.
Yeah.
Get their thoughts input. Does everyone understand the intention of this?
Yeah, I listened to the audio from the March meeting where I think a lot of this was brought up. My one question, and just showing my ignorance on some of these development fields, it seems like this is like a recommendation that they keep costs the same. So like, it's not to make a more expensive development, it's to just incorporate LID design.
Yeah, I did. So and I did add a paragraph to that end.
And so, is there no mechanism though for which, if it's a little more expensive, we still value this?
Certainly. Yeah, people in this room, that'd be an easy thing to say, but I feel like one meeting we had community members that were like present during a conversation, and like that, just the kind of the price sensitive nature, they don't value it, and not every citizen and not every staff member or county commissioner will value using a low input. They don't care about urban stream syndrome, like so. I feel like baseline, like a consultant can conceptualize these ideas at the beginning through, you know, through the end, just to have it be for consideration. Mm-hmm. And having this document somewhere in the government's files would like give them the standing to bring it up, to like even suggest such a, you know, difference in design. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm saying. Did that answer your question?
Sort of. But this paragraph is sort of to not scare people away from these concepts.
Yeah, because that was kind of the knee jerk. It was like, well, so you just wanted to spend more money to make it green.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like, well, not really. Like,
sure.
We just want the consultants to do a better job.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay.
That
helps. I really understand that we want to see your best effort in that.
Yeah.
You know, if you have LID approaches, let's see them.
These decisions that get made for really no reason in site development projects, it swings the cost of these capital improvements millions of dollars. So just making like a simple statement to say, this is going to make it more expensive, is like, well, you don't know that, but maybe not. Maybe taking this approach from the beginning will result in a totally different site plan that is cost less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So I love this concept of the IDM. The discussion paper is, I'm not sure that's how well the public can understand all that.
Yeah, that's part of what we need to figure out. We need help from Marcus. It's like Chris and I have written a lot here, mm-hmm. and we don't really know what the end thing is going to be, mm-hmm. right? So trying to get everything in everybody's heads, and then it'll morph into something that's
But frequently you need to articulate a little bit of, this is some sort of change, and you have to articulate a little bit of a case for change to get people to want to actually do something or to get support behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to happen. I don't want it to die just because we haven't articulated well enough that we should be doing it or why we should be doing it.
Yeah, it's tricky because the obvious way to make that case to me would be to like pick a project that sucked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, look at these gross stormwater features. Mm-hmm. Nothing's functioning right. Mm-hmm. But then you're like attacking the people that manage that project,
mm-hmm.
and the commissioners probably all approved all the budget and everything for that. So it's like, I don't think going that route and like the creating a scapegoat is the best way. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know any other way.
Why do we care if there's excess nutrients in the water? That sounds good. I'm on Mountain True's board, so I mean I'm all behind all this clean water stuff and the river keepers and all that stuff, so it's, this is something which is important to get done.
Well, that may be a case where we have to have some access to supplemental information, because one of the key things that Phil and I tried to do when we were writing it was keep it short.
Yeah, which is important too.
To the point. And so it's very hard to keep it short and not either one, make it so vague that it's not, it doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
Or two, you can make it really short if you use technical language,
mm-hmm.
because you can use one word that explains the whole problem, like eutrophication.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's the problem with nutrients. All I have to say is excess nutrients cause anthropogenic eutrophication.
Yeah.
But then I've got to go through a whole paragraph explaining what anthropogenic
eutrophication
is.
So writing a one-page thing is extremely difficult. And having been trained as an engineer, I know how difficult it is for me to write things so non-engineers can understand them.
Right.
This is an excellent first
it
draft.
Is.
And approach. I mean, I think that this sets the framework for the expectation, and having it short, and I think it's very well done now, and it can be amended,
yeah.
You know, as things come up and issues and questions come up. But I think, I mean, we could sit and debate it for a year and not have anything out there. I mean, I think this is good. I think it's publishable. I think these guys have done a fabulous job in developing it, and then as issues come up, then they can be addressed.
Yeah. Well, I also think if we do progress to the next step of talking to Marcus and John, let's say,
mm-hmm.
Then we're getting talking points from them, like, you
exactly.
know, kind of
yeah.
like we got with Larry last time. We got his knee-jerk reactions, and so we added content or
yeah.
adjusted mm-hmm. content. Because
mm-hmm.
I think ultimately if we continue to the point that the BOC is looking at this, they're going to want to know, well, who did you speak with on the staff level? You know,
yeah.
who have you spoken with? They may even want to know who outside of our committee we've spoken to us in terms of stakeholders. But I think this is a great first step
mm-hmm.
in that regard.
I think you guys have to be commended for what you've done.
Yeah.
It's really, it's cogent, and I think, again, it is expressing the framework and the expectation. And the details can follow.
I've always envisioned this thing, like, did you see the RFP that they prepared when they were trying to elicit proposals from McGill and others for the thing you mentioned before?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure at the end of that, there might have been attachments like equal opportunity employers, the stuff that you don't really read. So I kind of envisioned this just being an appendix
mm-hmm.
to RFPs that go out. It's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, hey, we're a county that values an LID approach, and we want you to consider those.
That's a good point.
And the people who are going to be reading that, will they be familiar with those technical terms?
For sure.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
So that question, though, is asked to go through the public first, who might not be aware of those.
Well, it's got to get through the commissions. Commissioners doesn't. I mean, that's really
yeah.
whatever the commissioners will sign off on is what we want.
Yeah, that's our role. No matter what we touch, is our we're an advisory committee to the commissioners. Just as the staff members are advising the commissioners on what to do or what not to do. So very often, every time we touch something, it's not real until they say grace over it.
So eventually, we want a resolution for the commissioners to say we want LID to be applied to all our contracts.
Yeah, they would just direct the county. Who's John Mitchell's boss? So it is direct Steve Wyatt to include that in appropriate RFPs in the future. If that's the best way, maybe Marcus and maybe staff has a better idea that this could be used.
Yeah, it seemed like the first time Marcus heard this idea, he was pretty
He liked the attached to proposals idea.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think he was the one that said, what you're looking for is policy guidance.
Yeah,
it was either him or John came down. We couldn't figure out the right word to use.
And that's important. We need to make sure we're calling this by the right name, because it's going to be, you know, in big all cap letters on someone's agenda. You don't want it to throw up any unwarranted flags.
Yeah, and if you're new, it's a real razor's edge that you walk on stuff like this sometimes. So some of the things we stay away from for good reason are topics like ordinance, policy.
Yeah.
We spent 45 minutes convincing somebody that it was not, we weren't proposing a new ordinance.
Yeah.
Well, it's really trying to implement best development practices. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes is a standard in utility industry. They have, best utility practices. And that actually means a whole lot of things. And if you could get that somehow, get the staff to actually you could perhaps just get the staff to assume best development practices without the commissioners actually voting on something?
The person that I've been thinking of ever since we first talked about this and had the idea is, what is Bill Lapsley going to think of this idea? I have no idea. His career was in site development. He's a site development engineer. He's a county commissioner. He's going to have a lot to say, I presume, about this. And I don't know where he lands. So maybe that would be the last step once we figure out how this best fits in the county government, would be to invite him to a meeting or formally submit it to him as a memo and say, this is what we've been thinking. Can we have your comments before we...
I agree. He's basically the subject matter expert for the board. So
right.
On the subject, so I think he'd be a great resource.
Maybe you guys could meet with him. Just
separately?
Yeah.
Maybe that would be the best. Mm-hmm. Just have... Is there any...
But after Marcus and John?
Yeah, I want to have their...
Yeah.
Because they would be able to best know if we're off base with anything.
And give you time to.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should go for it.
I think it's excellent. I think you guys have done
a
really great job.
Does anybody want to look over it again and make sure it's good before we send it to Marcus and for your trusts?
I do not want to do that again. Not that it was bad, because it was very good and useful, but it would just delay it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's good. I think we've read it. We've got the copy edits from Jane, so I think it's in good shape.
Maybe
it is just a draft.
Do you want to leave? Should we take off of the appendix page? It's kind of just extra reading. It's not really...
I don't know. I would defer to you guys as engineers, because that appendix page is helpful to me as a layman.
Yeah.
It is to me, too.
Hmm.
I also want to know what's going on, so I have a vested interest in all the language.
Yeah.
So I think it's okay.
If you do take it off, you refer to it in the text, so be sure to take that out too. I'd leave it.
I would too.
And if you need a project to apply to that's a bad one, just pick one from another county.
There you go.
Yeah.
If we're picking a good one, we don't point to one in Buncombe County.
I want to end by saying, the finest point that I can on the importance of this issue, and it is the fact that it's mentioned in here, like the way Henderson County is laid out with the French Broad River, and we have the broadest valley in this whole Western North Carolina. We have the flattest portion of the French Broad through here. So all the communities and all the development has been situated around that. Mud Creek is the like the flattest creek in this region. So with that fact and all the development that's currently happening and all the agriculture that's there and all the growth that will happen between Hendersonville and Asheville, our rural county is going to continue to be suburbanized, urbanized. So that urban stream syndrome that's mentioned in there, like it's just the tip of the iceberg it's the tip of the iceberg if that projection continues. Like the streams will get more incised, more invasives, more lack of good things. And that's just yeah. In contrast to Transylvania County. It's like they don't the way it's connected and its growth projections aren't like us. Like we're gonna just continue to fill up. Like what's currently agriculture, maybe that'll be converted to apartments and stuff. And you can see it coming. 26 is gonna be widened, and before we know it, all of eastern and northern Henderson County is gonna be bedroom communities by the interstate.
Thank you, Phil.
Now I'm sad.
Well, an interesting thing. I learned that 30% of the Henderson County workforce commutes to Asheville.
30%?
30%, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, that urban sprawl and bedroom community sounds very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I worked in Greenville for years. I lived here and drove to Greenville every day. And I know people now that do it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not just Asheville. I mean, we sit with the work because we're sitting between Asheville and Greenville and Spartanburg to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. That's the role that we're going to be being put in.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Do you want me to send it to Marcus? Or do you want to? Or how should we go about sending it to them? What do y'all suggest?
I'm comfortable with you or with Chair. What do you say?
Do you think this could stand on its own? Can you imagine if you had no preliminary discussion and you received this? Do you think it would give you enough information about our intent and kind of the scope?
I think for sure with the two guys we've mentioned, because they're aware.
Yeah.
They're not.
Well, we both had them in here and specifically asked them questions related to this, so it's not like they've never heard us mention it.
Yeah. No, I think it'd be fine if we send it. Christine, if you want to send a copy we have, that all of us have in front of us, for their feedback, and just emphasize that it's a draft and something we've been talking about for about 6 months or more.
Yeah. And let them know that we want actual comments. We don't want John Mitchell to come in here and pontificate for 10 minutes. Tell him to write something down. He doesn't have to. Whatever he can get. But Marcus, I bet he can give us some good written comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess also say, you know, we're happy to, we being a subset of this committee, or if it's a...
Yeah, tell him to reach out to
conversation,
us.
You know, we're happy to...
Yeah.
Yeah, then, yeah, and whoever they come to, just take notes so that you can share them with the group.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Updated and copy on that.
Great, thank you. All right, so then we got Greenways master plan draft. We were talking earlier, Phil, before you came in, about the surveys and the public comment. If you missed the public comment, make sure you take the surveys. Phillip's on the Recreation Advisory Board. When is your next meeting? Is that the one where they're going to have
you're on the Greenway master plan?
Correct. Yes. The next Recreation Advisory Board meeting is going to take a vote to approve and pass along the master plan to the Board of Commissioners.
So you've already had the presentation from?
Maybe we'll get it. I think we'll get it and then make the vote. Yeah.
And that's soon.
That's next week. Yeah. And so that committee, that board has gotten periodic, like short updates about what they're doing and what's in it. But you know, it wasn't published until last week. So,
yeah. One of the things that I would strongly encourage you to consider, if your schedule allows, is going to that meeting. It's going to be an open meeting. The good thing about that is, if the that board sees participation from citizens, it's more support. Just like when the VOC sees it in December, seats need to be filled with people who want this. I mean, that's what we're charged with. We're sitting here as folks empowered by the Board of Commissioners to advise on environmental issues. That's just like voting. That's the best thing you can do is show up. So,
do you think you'll be able to be there? Because maybe we could take a vote amongst us and you could tell the chair of the Recreation Advisory Board that we were all in favor of adoption of the draft.
I'll be master. Do you know what day it is?
I can figure that out. Not next week. What is it?
Has everybody seen the master plan draft? I was going to put it on the projector just real quick. Survey.
I just emailed that to everybody while we were talking about it for the
game. Oh, nice.
So.
And then it did like the summary as well too.
There was nothing on the survey about a cutoff date, but obviously there is one.
So it's Thursday, November 15th. I don't know, for some reason my calendar invite says 9, but the email says, oh no, okay, it is 9 a.m.
Where?
At the Athletics and Activity Center. Yeah, I know where the soccer field is over there off Grove Street.
Yeah.
So you walk in that building and it splits to go up or down and you go up.
What time of the 15th again?
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Since we're discussing it, do you have like any like 5 minutes worth of key points or like real sticking points that came out while y'all were writing it?
No, I mean, it's exciting, but in general, like, there's no, it's bland in terms of being any excitement of.
It's very non-controversial.
Yes, yes, that was the better word than bland, yeah. Because it is great, like, it kind of, it calls out three major trail networks that's kind of the big thing that the commissioners will be voting on. It's like, is the county going to say, that we are prioritizing these three trails, the Coosa, French Broad River, and
Oklawaha.
Yeah. Why'd you say it like that?
Because that should be first.
Okay, sorry, yes. I think, I don't know if they're, I don't know if they're prioritized within those three or not, yeah.
Not
really. But then other than that, they, you know, just kind of real loosely identify a bunch of other connection points and just a whole bunch of writing that you'd find in master plans that's real boring. But it's all good. I could answer any questions or if y'all had any.
So it's moving forward. It's just a matter of prioritizing what parts finish first. So it's
okay. So there's the math. How to say this? So what we're discussing here is there's a draft master plan that's being written. There's a committee that's like helping staff write that master plan. A lot of times you'll have a consultant, you'll hire them to come in and like do all the research and writing for it, but staff has taken it on. Janet Peterson's done a lot of work. And anyway, so that committee has helped write the draft and that is trying to march its way forward to be adopted. Really, the whole point from, say, a cynical person's point of view is like, what's this for? And the answer is, well, in order to get federal funds, you have to have a master plan that, like, shows that you have a plan, right? It's like, we need money for this, and look, we have a master plan we spent all this effort on and got all this community input, and everyone has bought in on it. So that shows the due diligence is done for all the trails that we're proposing to build. a lot of other reasons to have a master plan, just to have everybody on the same page, and to, like, it's a good thing to get community input. You know, you have a portion of the county that just doesn't want pedestrian-oriented trails in their area, then that, you know, that's supposed to be able to come out in this phase, and the master plan kind of mention that and avoid it. So all kinds of little things like that. So master plan is supposed to figure out the best way to get trails in the county. So they've all been, all kinds of things were taken into account.
So the meeting on November 15th at 9 a.m. is the master, is this Greenways Committee.
Okay, so let me explain the hierarchy. The the meeting that I just said is not the Parks and Rec Board. It's a committee that was created under the Parks and Rec Board called the Greenway Master Plan Committee. So maybe it wouldn't be that useful.
That's not the one we need to go to.
Yeah, it's not. So
that, just scratch it.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
The one on the 15th, it's going to be everybody that has been working on it voting to say, yes, we approve this, it goes in.
So if you feel that our input or our presence would be advantageous, you'll let us know.
Yes.
Well, we need to go to the recreation.
There is, yeah, and that one's on the books. I still, sorry, I can't find the date right off.
Can you?
Yeah, I can look up the, let's see.
Yeah, there's two boards that are going to recommend to the VOC. It's Transportation Advisory and Recreation Advisory. I think Transportation's already seen it.
Yes.
They
tabled it.
Yeah.
30 days.
Yeah. And the Planning Board also tabled it. Okay. But there was no big qualms with it. They just wanted time to read it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that the board that is the sub-board, the committee that is the...
Meeting. I'll just look at that. It says the Planning Board, November 15th, 5:30 p.m.
There's the Recreation Advisory Board right there.
So that is true. There is one on the 13th. I just don't know if they're gonna, if that's on that agenda, and I haven't gotten the agenda for that meeting yet. So I'm betting that it'll be the one in December.
I know John is talking about these meetings to go to at the info session.
I think it is in November because the VOC's at the December meeting. They're going to get it like on the 3rd. I think.
Huh.
I've got a window.
Yeah, then I'm confused why the subcommittee would be voting on it after the... Mm-hmm. The committee from whence it came would vote on it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Sorry, I'm confused myself.
The subcommittee must have voted on it before it was published, though, because that's that committee's work.
Well, what we could do is we could coordinate. I know Autumn's involved with it. Autumn could clarify for us when it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think regardless, the bodies in the room goes a long way in these meetings.
At the... Either. Actually, so here's what we need. Could you just talk to Autumn and provide us with, I guess at least two meeting dates. The Planning Board meeting, for which they will take a vote on it, and the Recreation Advisory Board, the meeting in which they will take a vote on it. We just need those dates and times.
Okay, I can send those out.
Might as well look at Transportation Advisory as well. They haven't voted on it yet.
Yeah, I've never been to one of theirs. Is it open? Oh, it's a public meeting?
I think it is. They all are, I think, unless they're talking about something closed door.
Yeah.
That would be a good one because I think they've been lukewarm on other issues. But we can support them. So. I don't think it's a matter of, you know, bringing signs and jumping up and down. And all that, but just being in the review was something we talked about back in June, and I was supposed to get y'all information on it, and I dropped the ball, so I apologize. Basically, what this is every year we write a year in review to the Board of Commissioners to let them know what we've been working on. That's effectively our progress report from year to year. Being that we went to quarterly meetings and we really didn't dig into a whole lot of stuff last year that we took action with. We were more or less researching things like low impact development. We had talked about things like Kudzu, the Kudzu Warrior Program. But we didn't have as many action items as we had in prior years. A year ago, we wrote a fair amount of letters of support and things like that. So, if you like, I can just summarize from the meeting summaries that Rachel was keeping for us, email that to everybody. There's not really, it's not something that had to get to them by a certain date necessarily, so just throw that to them that we're meeting and talking about things. That's always helpful.
We are meeting and talking about things.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Period and done.
I think it'd be useful in case all of us had to quit this committee for one reason or another,
mm-hmm.
for all the new members and the new chair to be able to look back in the past 2, 3, 5 years
mm-hmm. I agree.
And see what was discussed.
I agree.
Instead of listening to 100 hours of these recordings.
Yeah, I don't know if that impresses me or frightens me.
I was really impressed.
Yeah.
I thought I'm a failure.
It's like a minute.
You see, you asked me about the July, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do a little.
Yeah. You're going to be a good team member.
I can't believe I said that out loud.
All right. And announcements. Anyone have announcements for the good of the group?
I will mention something. There was a meeting last week with some of the local city and county leaders, the energy leadership for tomorrow. Basically trying to do what is the county and city people and businesses doing towards getting a better energy future. So it's really very low level right now, trying to build some momentum. And, Mountain Truth helped put that together, but other people obviously participated in there. Christine was there. And it's kind of like the first step in getting a dialogue on what more can we do to improve our energy footprint for the obvious reasons of climate change, but also you can save people money through using less energy, conservation, and smarter use.
Great. I'm curious, you mentioned engineering. What's your background in engineering?
I have mechanical engineering background, but I did wind turbine development. I did some cogeneration development, which is more hands-on stuff. I got a lot of energy background.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
To piggyback on that a bit, have y'all heard of Citizens Climate Lobby? Anybody?
I heard the name before. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I get emails from them.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I'm not sure I read them.
Well, anyway, I coordinate the group here in Hendersonville, and we're actually going to be pursuing endorsement by the county as well as the city for carbon fee and dividend. So that's something we're actively going to be working on. Asheville has endorsed it. Now, I don't know. I don't think
that
Buncombe
County.
Don't
tell Henderson that Asheville endorsed it.
I know, Taylor. But anyway, that's something that we're going to be working on, especially with the IPCC report coming out. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people are aware and going to be looking at county and city government to see what they're actually doing about it. And so there is a process for us to do that. So we'll be actively seeking endorsement. And so
the name of it is Climate what?
Citizens Climate Lobby.
Okay.
I'm happy that we meet the second Monday of the month at 5:30 at the co-op. And I'd be happy to put everybody's name on our email list if you would like to know more about CCL. It's an international organization, nonprofit, that promotes carbon fee and dividend as a solution-based answer to climate change.
What is it? What's the dividend portion of that?
Well, industries, and of course, there are a lot of the big fossil fuel companies who have actually endorsed CCL, and they're doing it to keep from being more regulated. Of course, that's not a concern for them during this administration, but in another administration, probably in the past administration, that was a concern. But that every company is, and in fact, they're even building this, some of these companies are building this into their budgets now, and they're actually looking at it. What is your carbon footprint, essentially? And then there's an assessment and a value assigned to what your company is producing, and then you pay that fee for that carbon. And then everybody in the United States gets a check for, that's the dividend piece of it. So it does.
Oh, so it's back. It's to the citizens.
To the citizens, so all the citizens.
So a carbon tax is collected, and the funds go back.
Fee. It's not a carbon tax. It's okay. A carbon fee.
Okay. And when I worked for Detroit Edison in the strategic planning group, they had planned for carbon taxes.
And that's clearly what people understand. But we're trying to. It's a semantic nuance there. Mm-hmm. So that every household. In the United States would get a dividend check every month that will pay people back. Now, obviously, hopefully, the dividend part of that will be phased out as the carbon fee, the assessment or the amount assigned to these companies is going to decrease over time. Mm-hmm. So it's a real solution-based approach to carbon fee, and it's for everybody, and it's not the government's not deciding. Like Sierra Club kind of liked the idea, but then we want to put the money back in developing green programs, blah, blah, blah. So then you've got those layers of agencies and all who would be dealing with that. But the point is, we get the fee, and Americans get the dividends. And it generates jobs, and it also empowers a lot of people who are, you're poverty stricken, you're getting this dividend every month. That's a huge thing, and so that powers consumerism and all this kind of thing. So I'd really invite you to go on their website. It's a great website, and a lot of good information.
Yeah, worthy.
And anybody, just hand me your email and I will put you on my list. I'm putting another, in fact, I got another leadership meeting to go to after this one, and you'll get our emails.
Any staff announcements?
Yeah, just want to kind of let y'all know what I've been up to. Today kicked off the pumpkin collection at the convenience center. So residents can bring pumpkins, gourds, to the convenience center to be composted. So that's going to be going on from November 1st to December 8th, just, after Halloween and right around Thanksgiving. So please spread the word out about that. And I can send the flyer to y'all as well. And then I did my first composting workshop at the Hendersonville Community Co-op, and so that went really well. We had about 5 people there, which, I think is better than nobody. I'm pretty happy with that. It was like a really cold Thursday. And then I'm looking to do more composting workshops, maybe start Rachel started the pub and leftover grub, focus on breweries, and maybe go back to Sierra Nevada, and so maybe focus on composting workshops this spring. And then I'm doing a recycling workshop November 8th, just recycling 101, how to be a better recycler. November 8th at the Henderson County Main Library from 6 to 7. And I can also send you that flyer. But contamination is a huge problem with solid waste these days, as y'all know. And people may think they're great recyclers, but they might just not know. So just addressing, what you can and can't recycle, the hard to recycle items, fluorescent bulbs, metals, electronics, and then where it goes and what it's turned into. I'm a firm believer that if people know what they're creating, they're more likely to recycle. This gets turned into carpet. This, like aha moments. So that'll be November 8th. And then I'll just keep y'all posted about the solid waste master plan. That's going to be a lot of work, and I'm excited to come in right at the beginning of that. So,
that's great.
And the app or the program that you guys have done has been really, really helpful. But yeah. My question with that is, how does it interface with the city recyclable recommendations, because they're not always the same? Is there any way to integrate those? So, I mean, in terms of what we can recycle?
Yeah, and then they kind of overlap. You know, I think Tom directs people to the convenience center transfer station, but maybe that's a good suggestion to maybe sit down with him and see how we can be more, we can work together on that.
Mm-hmm. And even some of the smaller haulers will recycle this, and they don't recycle that, and so people are just, you know, just confused about what to recycle. And then this one lady said, well, I'm just going to throw it in there because they should be recycling it. And you're right, contamination is the biggest issue in recycling. Well, not the biggest, but one of the big, that and the last. The biggest
big buzzword these days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially since we don't have China to take all of the crap and stuff we used to put into recycling.
We'll get that in editing, don't worry.
That's what those moments of white noise were.
Helps me.
All right.
Cool. That is
thanks
really
for everyone's
cool.
participation today. So we'll keep everyone updated on the feedback that we get from Marcus and John. I'll get everyone an email and the summary. If you can just reply, looks good, or any edits you can find. Christine's going to find out about these meetings upcoming and get in touch with everybody. And then our next meeting will be January 10th at 3 o'clock in this room here.
And I'll keep you all updated if that changes.
Okay.
That sounds good.
I forget, Daniel. Did you mention that you're going to say that the EAC supports the Master Greenway Plan? Do we need to vote on that, or?
Does anyone not feel comfortable endorsing it? Have you not looked through it, or?
You know, it's really long. Nobody wants to read 80-some pages, but the executive summary is pretty short.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's only, like, there's, like, three maps to look at there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I personally don't have any problem.
I would propose that we support it.
Yeah, I'm in support. Okay.
Everyone's in favor?
All eyes, yeah.
All right. Well,
so you were empowered as the chair. So the other chairs of these boards, they'll, like, we supported plan that.
And whatever secret place the chair meetings will have.
Password.
Secret handshake.
All right, very good. I think that's a good way for us to make our position known. Even though we weren't asked.
Christine, how are you publicizing about this meeting at the library on Recycling 101?
I sent it out to our. Let me set the recording off real quick.
Okay.